Psalms 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord. And I pray that you would bless, dear Lord, the message, Lord. Thank you for the unique way in which you gave it to me. Thank you for the excitement that I feel now to be able to preach it, Lord. And I just, Lord, want to please you above anything and everything. I think you know my heart. I think you know that that's really all I have. That's my desire. That's my hope. Lord, that you would be pleased, and of course that your people would be helped. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm going to preach a message entitled, "If it is so, if it is so, say so. If it is so, say so." Let me tell you the unique way the Lord gave me this, and I'm going to preach on this subject and just try to encourage each and every one of us to use something that each and every born-again Christian has. And yours is unique to you, and yours will always be a little different than someone else's. But one of the most powerful tools that you have that you can use for the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal salvation testimony. If it is so, say so. If it is so, say so. I'm doing some research and wanted to put together some things. Been working a lot this week on our tent revival that's coming up, our tent camp meeting, 50th anniversary, 50th anniversary. And I was talking to Brother Wagner, and I said I was going through the old yearbooks, and I found him in there, and he was just a kid, and me in there, and I'm just a kid. I said, "What in the world happened to us?" And I think it's happened worse to me than it has him. But anyway, it just seems like a day or two. And what are we doing? 50th anniversary. And so one of the things that I sent out to all of our Blessed Hope kids, and I have to smile when I say that because a lot of them that I keep calling kids are not kids. Some of them are grandparents, but there are Blessed Hope kids out there in ministry. And I just sent out a text and said, "I'd like to know how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your salvation testimony?" Now, Tim Russ, for instance, he's coming in to preach, Lord willing. By the way, pray for Brother Tim. He's kind of dealing with health issues also. And so we need to pray for him that he's strong and he's able and can come to the tent meeting. That's a little bit in question now, but I'm praying that he'll be able to be here. You say, "Did he grow up here?" No, he was grafted in. Amen. He's like there's the Jewish Blessed Hope Baptist Church members, and then there's the Gentile Blessed Hope Baptist Church associates that their only real connection is that they married, they were grafted in. Amen. But his wife, Marty McDonald, grew up in this church, and I got her testimony text back to me. Marty was saved in 1976. When Leighton Sampson, by the way, as I was going through the old revival flyers and posters that we used to make and put up everywhere, I found the flyer for this revival meeting in 1976, June of 1976. By the way, we would have just been in this new church building at that point for about a month. We moved in the first Sunday in May. First Sunday in June, we have a revival service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She was saved when Leighton Sampson preached a revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on June 8th, 1976. Sister Donna Ross led her to the Lord at the altar. And she said, if you go up to the front of the church, preacher, and stand anywhere near the north side of the altar, somewhere in that area, your mama opened a Bible and led me to the Lord as an eight-year-old girl at a revival meeting at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And I loved that. And then I text Caleb Hall. And of course, he was the first one I text and the last one to respond, because we are talking about Caleb Hall, and there's some things that will never change. But I finally bugged him into an answer, and I love this. He said, yes. He said, I came to church on the bus and came, and I'd listened and heard. And he said, but you know what? It wasn't till your dad made a follow-up visit to my family at our home. And he said, looked and turned around and looked at a 10-year-old boy and said, do you know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And he said, I didn't know that for sure. He said, I fell under conviction. We sat at the kitchen table. He said, your dad led me to the Lord sitting at the kitchen table at my home as a 10-year-old boy. And I thought, you know what? God uses revival meetings so little girls can get saved. And God still uses door-to-door visitation so that 10-year-old boys can be saved. Paul Chapman text me, and Paul was saved at a youth revival at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And this was before I was here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I was still pastoring the Central Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana, but they invited me to come down and preach a youth revival for them. And Paul, after the youth revival, was standing out in the parking lot under conviction, flagged down Brother Bo Eichelman as he's getting ready to pull out with a busload to take home, and said, Brother Bo, I'm not saved. And he turned around, told the workers, sing some songs, brought him in, set him on the back row right back there at the very back row. And Bo Eichelman opened the Bible and led Paul Chapman to the Lord after a youth revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. David Napu Noah, another one that's been grafted in. You say, how did he get saved? I don't know. Don't really care. I don't think if you got saved at Blessed Hope, it was probably real anyway. So, you know, we don't worry too much about that. But Ashley, his wife, of course, oh, I got a kick out of her response. It was hilarious. Classic Ashley. And Ashley was led to the Lord by her dad at home. But she credits, by the way, she said, preacher, I'm going to go ahead and read her text. I'm summarizing the rest of them, but this is just too good. I got to read it. Dad led me to the Lord at home. I can't say there was one specific aha moment for me in any church service. Listen, teachers, just the faithful teachers and Sunday school workers, and a preacher who was always talking about Jesus, the rapture, heaven, and hell. I peppered mom and dad with questions on and off for weeks, but they weren't sure that I quite understood. Then one night in September, it all clicked for me. I thought Jesus was going to return during my spaghetti supper at home and take mom and dad and Nathan and leave me behind. Then she put in parentheses, not sure what I was thinking would happen to Isaac. That's an older sister's heart and concern, you know. But she was scared to death that she was going to get left. And then Pastor Ross was always talking about the judgment seat of Christ. I was under so much conviction during supper that I trusted Christ that night. Pastor baptized me in October. He gave me a few weeks. I was terrified of getting dunked. Then again, in parentheses, I blame Nathan because he told me that I might drown. You know, there's just some dysfunction going on here, you know. I mean, it's amazing that Ashley ever got saved with a brother like you. It's ever got saved. But do you love that? Do you just love that, folks? I love the fact that there was not an aha moment as far. But you know what? Just the fact her mom and dad kept her in church every time the doors was open. Come on, faithful Sunday school teacher out in children's church. I don't know where she heard what where, but God put it all together in one moment. She come under Holy Spirit conviction and got born again and got saved. And that's their testimony. Then Jonathan Reiser texts me. And so what's so neat is I've been able to take the research that I'm doing and the dates that I'm getting out of the bulletins, and even some helping some of our young people that were saved and didn't remember an exact date or who was preaching a certain revival, but they knew the date, but they didn't know the preacher. They knew the preacher didn't know the date. It was sometime in spring of 2002, and I've been able to text them back and say, well, that evangelist you're talking about was here from Sunday through Wednesday. I don't know which night you got saved. So that's been kind of fun. Jonathan Reiser was led to the Lord at age 9 by his mother at home. He came home under Holy Spirit conviction of sin after a Blessed Hope Baptist Church Wednesday night service where they showed a video on the dangers of rock and roll music. And God used that video to put him under conviction that he was not saved. And at 9 years of age, he left this service, went home, talked to his parents, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Daniel Skirhaw, Central Baptist Church, Mount Vernon, Kentucky, will be coming up and preaching under our tent, Lord willing. He married, of course, Rachel Gordon. And Rachel sent me this. Saved at home at 12 years of age, led to the Lord by her parents after coming home from a Blessed Hope Baptist Church public school revival preached by Brother Jerry Harris in March of 2002. And so attended a public school youth revival and fell under conviction, went home, talked to her parents, and received Christ as her Savior. Jesse McCammon, Lord willing, pastors, he'll be here preaching under the tent, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Flora, Illinois. And Jesse answered me and said he was saved at a vacation Bible school at Blessed Hope Baptist Church when he was 7 years old. And so somebody found him and somebody signed him up. Somebody brought him to vacation Bible school on a bus. And he said one of the Blessed Hope teenagers, he's not sure which one of our teenage guys, led me to the Lord on the south side of the altar. And that was at a vacation Bible school. And I thought, you know what? God uses all kinds of things to bring children to the Lord. His wife, Heather McCammon, and both of them are Jewish and part of our church. And Heather was saved. Someone's going to listen to this later on and say, what in the world is he talking about? Heather was saved during a Blessed Hope Baptist Church children's church. At that time, that was conducted by John and Terry Reiser. And Heather, it was being held back in the dining room where we'd call it the cafeteria, the back part of our metal building back here. That's where they had junior church. She said to me here a while back, she said, I brought my kids back by the gymnasium and I walked them in there. And those steps that are leading up to where we keep all of that stuff super organized up there in that storage area, those steps leading up there, she said, I sat right there on that step with one of the workers from junior church with an open Bible, and that's where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Children's church. Children's church. July 23rd, 2000, 11-year-old girl who's now a pastor's wife got saved right out there in children's church. Thank you, Brother John, Sister Terry, for all those years of faithfulness in running our junior church. And then Gerald Clanny, again, not an important person, but he will be here preaching. But his wife, oh my goodness, an amazing Christian and a good girl. And anyway, received the assurance of her salvation at age 11 at home. Hannah cannot point to one particular service or sermon at Blessed Hope that brought her to the point of decision, but instead shared this, and I'll read what she texted to me. Just the fact that we were in church every time the doors were open so that I constantly had the reality of eternity brought to my attention through Sunday school classes and preaching services kept me aware of the fact that I must be sure that I'm saved. When the time came where I doubted my salvation, it just made sense to me to settle it once and for all. 11 years old, influenced by Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Derek Lowen, of course, pastors the old-fashioned Baptist Church in Butte, Montana, and he married Rebecca Gordon. And Rebecca, I love this testimony, got saved when she was 8 years old. She was led to the Lord at home by her mom and dad. She wrote this. It was on a Sunday night after hearing evangelist Bob Hamlin preach on hell in the Sunday morning service and Pastor Bob Ross preach on the tribulation period during the Sunday night service. She went home, said, Mom, Dad, I need to get saved. Amen. You know what? If you can listen to Bob Hamlin preach on hell and Bob Ross preach on the tribulation period in the same Sunday and go home and stay lost, I don't know how you do it. Amen. 8 years old, but God used that to prepare her heart for salvation. And Stephen Studer, assistant pastor at Faithway Baptist Church in Greenfield, Indiana, of course, married one of our girls, Stephanie Pierce. Stephanie came to church on a Blessed Hope Baptist Church bus and was saved when she was 14 years of age. She told me it was during a morning service. Pastor Jerry Ross was preaching on salvation. She fell under conviction, and she wrote this, I knew I didn't know for sure where I would go when I died. Sister Cheryl Ross led me to the Lord during the invitation. Who else is going to be preaching? Brother Jonathan Ross. Big John will come back, Lord willing. Youth pastor at Madison Baptist Church, Madison, Alabama. And I asked out, sent him a text, tell me how you got saved. Tell me the circumstances. He wrote back, Papa preached a message. By the way, Papa is Pastor Robert Ross, all right? Papa preached a message on heaven and hell on the Friday night of our 1997 Blessed Hope Baptist Church Vacation Bible School. I wasn't sure I was saved. I talked to my dad several times through the summer about salvation, but didn't fully understand it. Finally, the Lord opened my eyes and opened my heart. August 17th, 1997, my dad led me to the Lord at our house. I was 5 years of age. And then, of course, AJ married our daughter, Tabitha, AJ Nichols, youth pastor at Regency Baptist Church in Loomis, California. And she answered me and said she was saved on Sunday, April 1st, 2001. She got saved at home, but it was after a Sunday where missionary Ron Bragg and missionary Ron Hodge had preached a missions conference here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and she fell under conviction, came home after she went to bed, came back, woke us up. Come on, some of you have had children do that, and say, Dad, I need to talk to you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. 10 years of age after a missions conference at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Justin Nichols is assistant pastor and, of course, married Kelsey Hall. And Justin and Kelsey, by the way, are planning on being here, and he's going to preach under the tent. Regency Baptist Church assistant pastor there. Kelsey was saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church during her sixth grade year. She was 12 years old. She got saved at the school. Her teacher led her to the Lord at the end of the school day. This was a short time after she had attended her first Blessed Hope Baptist Church youth revival. Under conviction from that, came to the Christian school, talked to her teacher, and was born again. Now, let me just kind of conclude this, okay? It's amazing. By the way, I hope this has been encouragement to those of you that just faithfully serve here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, you don't ever know what children's church service. You don't ever know, come on, what vacation Bible school. Preacher, why do we keep having youth revivals and youth rallies? And you know why? Because God's traditionally used these things through the years to bring young people to Jesus Christ. It's an amazing the different ways God has used the different ministries of this church to bring the lost under conviction and bring the lost to salvation. I just wrote a summary of this. Now think, these are not the testimonies that are in the auditorium here, and we're going to get to that in just a second. This is the testimonies of those that are out from this place in full-time service. They either grew up here and they're out there preaching, or they grew up here and married a preacher and they're out in full-time service. And you know what? This is a summary of their testimonies of how God used this church to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me summarize it. One was saved at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Another was saved at a Blessed Hope Baptist Church missions conference or after that. Another because of a Blessed Hope Baptist Church Vacation Bible School. Another because of a regular Sunday morning where a gospel message was preached and she came forward and got saved. Another after hearing an evangelist, a guest evangelist at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Another because of a faithful Sunday school teacher. Another got saved because of a children's church ministry. Many that were here and got saved of that group were here because of the bus ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Another led to the Lord by a Blessed Hope teenager, by the way, who'd been trained in his youth group how to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another who fell under conviction at a Blessed Hope youth revival. Another who came home after a Wednesday night watching a video on rock music, came under conviction and knew he wasn't saved and received Christ as a Savior. Another one under conviction during youth training hour. Somehow I skipped Matthew Harrison and his story. Go back onto that. Let me read Matthew's real quick. Matthew's here, of course. And Matthew was saved on December 15th, 2004 in his room by his bed in the middle of the night. He fell under conviction after hearing Pastor Jerry Ross teach the youth group how to win others to Christ. But God used that lesson to convict him of his need of Christ. He wrote this, God used that soul-winning lesson and a little orange nightlight in my bedroom to remind me of the fires of hell. God got a hold of my heart and I knelt beside my bed alone at 12:30 a.m. with God. Having grown up in church, I like this, I used every phrase I knew of regarding salvation and asked Jesus to save me that morning. And he did. And he did. Another one got saved. Think about this. Falling under conviction during youth training hour during a course on soul winning. teaching a bunch of kids I thought were saved how to win someone who's not saved. And as we carefully went through the plan, God used that to tug at the heart of one of our young men and say, you've never done that, and you've never been saved yourself, and got saved. Another at a public school youth revival. Another at the altar during a Blessed Hope Baptist Church summer revival back in 1976. Another at his kitchen table as the pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church came back for a visit. You know what, preacher, those are interesting. It's nice to have the background. Well, let me ask you a question. What's your story? What's your story? What's your story? Let me just give you some things to ponder tonight. Or this morning. Number one, everyone needs to have a clear salvation testimony. Amen. Everyone needs to have a clear salvation testimony. Preacher, what do you mean by a clear salvation testimony? Something that all of these young people have in common is this. You know what? They could go back to a definite place in their mind. A definite place. They could go back to a definite time. By the way, they may not remember the exact date. But in their mind, in their memory, there was a definite place and a definite time where they were born again. There needs to be a definite drawing. What does that mean, preacher? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And every single one of these young people talked about a supernatural happening in their lives and in their hearts as they encountered God. And because they encountered a holy God, they fell under Holy Spirit conviction. They felt the drawing of the Father. And you know what? It got them out of the bed. And it got them down to their mom and dad's bedroom. Or it got them out of the pew and got them to the front of the church. God was involved in every single one of these salvations. There needs to be a definite place and a definite time and a definite supernatural drawing and a definite understanding of the gospel. Because folks, listen to me. If there's one thing we've got to get right, is we've got to point them to the right way to be saved. The only way we can be saved is to listen to the words of Jesus. Come on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How about this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I sat and talked to a man this week, and a man that doesn't have the same background religiously I have, but I sat beside him and I asked him, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I believe I am. And I said, well, what are you trusting in? And he looked at me with seriousness of heart. And he said, I have my full faith and trust in the fact that Jesus died for my sins and was buried and rose again. Folks, I can't argue with that. Amen. You know what? The gospel, the good news is that Jesus died for your sins, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And you know what? Because of that, he can not only offer us forgiveness of sin, but he can offer us the gift of eternal life. And let me ask you something. What's your story? What's your definite place? Where's your definite place? What's your definite time? What's the testimony of your definite, come on, supernatural conviction and drawing? Was God involved in it? And did you have a clear understanding of the gospel? And with that clear understanding, did you call out and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Everyone needs to have a clear salvation testimony. Let me follow that up with this one quickly. Everyone can have a clear salvation testimony. Well, preacher, I don't have that. Well, we can remedy that today. Is God convicting your heart right now? Is God stirring something inside of you? Is God saying to you, you know, hey, you don't have that definite place. You don't have that definite time. You can't look back at a supernatural encounter. You didn't have a definite understanding. Folks, listen to me. Those are necessary ingredients to someone being saved. And if you don't have those definite things in your life and heart, you know what? If God is moving in your heart and God is stirring in your heart and he's bringing concern, I call it an unholy, a holy unrest. If he's doing that in your heart, your mind right now, then you know what? You can come forward at the end of a service. You can get saved just like Sister Marty got saved right here at an altar. You can get saved just like Brother Jesse got saved right here at an altar. But listen to me. Listen, you can be unsure of a lot of things and you can be questioning a lot of things, but you don't want to be unsure of this. You can have a clear salvation testimony. You say, preacher, are you sure it's for me? Whew. All right, John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here it is. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preacher, you said everyone can have a clear salvation testimony. You know why I can say that? Because the Bible uses the word whosoever, and the Bible uses it a lot. How about John chapter 4, verse 7? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 11, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts chapter 2, Brother Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he launches into his message, and he only gets about a half dozen sentences into his message when he says this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen, you can have a clear salvation testimony because salvation is for whosoever will. Romans chapter 10, say there's more verses. Oh yeah, we might as well have some fun. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love the way the Bible ends up in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17, the very back of the book. And we read these closing words, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A couple years ago, I preached a message out of this verse entitled, You Can't Say That You Weren't Invited. You know why? Because the Spirit says, come. The bride, who's the bride, by the way? We're the bride. We're the ones that's supposed to be telling sinners, come, come. The Holy Spirit will tell them, come. Man, come on, the church ought to be saying, come. And you know what? There ought to be a message. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The message of salvation is directed to whosoever will. Whosoever, whosoever. God wants everyone to be saved. You need to have a clear salvation testimony. You can have a clear salvation testimony. The message of salvation is directed to whosoever will. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let's move on. Think about this. By the way, I got to stop and ask you, what's your story? What's your story? By the way, do you have a story? Come on, if you were put on the spot and I was to send you that email, hey, I need to know a detail. I want to know the details. I want to know how you were born again. I want to know for sure how you were saved. Now, spell it out to me. Amen. Would you send me something about joining a church? Come on, would you tell me about how, you know what, your grandma was a good Christian or your mama prayed for you? Would you send me something about the day that you got baptized? Would you send a defense of your self-righteousness and your good works, a listing of your good works? Because none of those is a Bible answer, and none of that is a clear salvation testimony. Everyone needs to have a clear salvation testimony. Everyone, watch this, can have a clear salvation testimony. How about this? Everyone needs to share their clear salvation testimony. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The sermon title, once again, if it is so, say so. If it is so, say so. I love going to Acts, and all through the book of Acts, I like following the Apostle Paul. Seemed like no matter when he got in trouble and when he got in a jam and when he got arrested, next time they put him up in front of a group of people and gave him the opportunity to defend himself, he just kind of set that off to the side. Said, I'm not worried a whole lot about these charges. I'm not worried a whole lot about what you can and can't do to me. Let me tell you about what happened on the Damascus Road. Think about this. Paul had a definite place. Paul had a definite time. Come on, read that story. He had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know what? He had a clear testimony as when it came to this matter of salvation. You know, one of the things we're going to do, and I got a list up on the back bulletin board so you can sign up for this. These aren't the only Blessed Hope Baptist Church testimonies. These are not the only Blessed Hope Baptist Church stories that I'd like to hear during our anniversary week. Say, preacher, I wasn't saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I was saved somewhere else in some other ministry. Well, come tell me about it sometime. But honestly, that's not what I'm looking for during our anniversary week year. I'd like to hear the testimonies of people in this room who were saved because of something, some connection. You were attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, you may have gotten saved at home, but you were attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And aren't you glad, parents, that you got the help of a church to work on your children's heart, to get them to the point where they're coming to you under conviction about salvation? I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't use family altar, but don't get haughty, parents, when you lead your children to the Lord. You understand, whether you realize it or not, your church had a lot to do with it. Let me say it again. Your church had a lot to do with it. Let me say it again. God uses the church. God uses the preaching. God uses the Sunday school teacher. God uses the children's church. Yes, God uses mom and dad. But listen to me. You know what? Every testimony that was shared with me where someone got saved at home, they reached back and credited something that happened in their church. And you know what? I'm for the church. I'm 100% for the church. Think about that. You know what? I'd like to hear these testimonies. If you got saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'd like to hear your story. We're going to give you opportunity. There's a sign-up sheet on the back bulletin board. If you were saved because while you were attending here, if you were saved because of one of the ministries here, if your story has a connection to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then you know what? I'd like you to be brave enough to sign up. Say, preacher, I'm a lady. Go ahead and sign up. I won't make you come up here and stand behind the pulpit, but we'll bring a microphone back to you, and I'd like to hear your story. I'd like to hear the story of men in this church that were saved, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've asked Brother Nathan to kick that off tonight. He's going to share his salvation testimony at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not talking about rambling on forever. I'm not talking about, don't start, please. You know what? I weighed 7 pounds, 6 ounces when I was born. Nobody here cares. I'm sorry, they really don't. Well, maybe not. I shouldn't speak for everybody. I don't care, all right? But get to Jesus, amen. Get to Jesus and share your salvation testimony. You know why I like these testimonies? Every one of these young people, by the way, if you go back through that list, they were saved at 12 years of age. They were saved at 10 years of age. They were saved at 5 years of age. They were saved at 8 years of age. 10 years of age, 16 years of age, 5 years of age, 9 years of age, 12 years of age, 7 years of age, 11 years of age, 11 years of age, 8 years of age, 14 years old. You know what? I'm glad that this church ministers to young people. I'm glad this church begins to tell children about Jesus in the nursery. As the ladies are walking around, they're telling babies about Jesus. You say, well, they can't understand. I don't know if they can or not, but they can't say they haven't heard it. Amen. I'm glad in the 2 and 3 year olds, they're hearing about Jesus. I'm glad in the 4 and 5 year olds, they're hearing about Jesus. Listen, we need to keep the message of salvation strong in front of our children. And so you think about that and pray about that. Preacher, I've never given my salvation testimony before. If it is so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, preacher, my personality is such that it's really difficult for me. If it is so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so I'd like to hear these testimonies because it is the 50th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You think about this. The research I did on that I am doing still, and we're putting together that history book, and it's getting close. It's getting close. I'm rushing it because I'm not sure what's next on the agenda in my life, and I'm trying to get that project to the finish line. But you know what? It's interesting to read about a date within the first few months of Blessed Hope Baptist Church where they had a Monday night service in Bob Swaby's living room on September 10th, 1973. Not a Sunday service, a Monday night service. You know what they did? They announced to everybody that would be interested in joining the church. It was the first time they offered charter membership to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My dad had spent a lot of weeks teaching on the importance of this, teaching what it means to be a member, teaching about the qualifications for membership. And on that meeting, at that meeting, my mom sat there and hand wrote. Matter of fact, I wrote in parentheses before this, and you'll find this in the Blessed Hope Baptist Church history book that we're putting together. Below is copied the actual notes written longhand by Mrs. Donna Ross at the charter membership meeting of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church on Monday, September 10th, 1973. Philippians 3, 1 through 9 was read by Pastor Ross. Then there was a prayer. Then he said this, all members must abide by the Constitution and understand such when they join in with others to make up the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The covenant was read aloud, and as was the articles on responsibility or duties of members. The three amendments that were read as the corrections had been made before adopting the Constitution at the previous meeting was read. Baptism by immersion, as stated in the Constitution, must have been done before joining. And then she wrote this, the following people came. Now listen, I'm doing this for a reason. The following people came forward before witnesses and openly testified of their salvation and baptism, then asked for membership. And I read that, and I thought to myself, wow. By the way, I was there in that meeting. By the way, my name's on the list here, all right, as one of the charter members. Bill English's name's on the Bob Ross's. Now, I shouldn't start naming people, but there's a there was 37 charter members and 16, I'm pretty sure, and I have to check on a couple, but I believe there's 16 that are still alive today that were charter members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church there. But you know what? Did you get that? Pastor Ross is starting a brand new church. He says, we're going to have a special meeting on a Monday night. If you're serious about joining this church and wanting to be a part of a church like we, a Bible church, a Bible-believing church, and you want to be a part of something, then I'd like you to come to this service. And by the way, he got up there and he didn't say, how many would like to? We'll hand you a piece of paper. How many would like to? We'll have you come up and sign this book. You know what he said? If you want to join Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then come up to the front and tell everybody in this church how you got saved. And tell about your scriptural baptism. You know what he was saying? He was saying, if it is so, say so. If it is so, say so. And I got to thinking, man alive, we need to get back to doing that. You know, I mean this, folks. I really fell under conviction. And, you know, it's amazing how we can rationalize, well, you know what, this person wants to join the church. And you know what? I don't want to bring them up and I don't want to make a big deal and I want to embarrass them. And so, you know, or sometimes somebody's making a public profession and you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll tell them what happened. Why aren't we having people who say they are saved say it themselves? Okay, if you want to join, come on. Some of you are like, I am so glad I'm already a member now. Well, come on, tomorrow night on a Monday night. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, maybe we didn't keep doing it like that, but I'm not sure it wouldn't have been a good idea. Yes, and by the way, if you have an opportunity to do it, if it is so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Fascinating. They gave a list of 37 people, got their names written down here. pastor then exhorted us, now pray and live to be a witness for Jesus Christ and understand that your testimony affects your church. Happy birthday was sung to Kathy Johnson. Closing prayer. Closing prayer by Charles English. Isn't that awesome, man? That is awesome. Think about this. Everyone needs to share their clear salvation testimony. How about this? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. How about Paul when he wrote in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How about Luke chapter 9? Watch this. Jesus is speaking, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, this matter of being ashamed, shame on us if we're ashamed. Shame on us if we don't speak up. Shame on us if we're the redeemed, but we don't say so. You have something so valuable and so powerful in your possession as a born-again Christian. You know what you have? You have the story of your salvation. It can be used in such a powerful way. We started retraining our soul winners probably 15, 18 years ago when it comes to soul winning. One of the ingredients that I wanted to make sure we were inserting back into our soul winning training was the use of the soul winner's personal testimony as he presents the plan of salvation. First of all, we have a very much a Bible pattern of that, a Bible examples of that. When somebody in the Bible was telling someone how to be saved, you know what? They first start telling how they got saved. And there is something about that where people don't feel like you're preaching down to them, but you're preaching across to them. The same thing I'm telling you that you need to do, I needed to do. The same thing that's true about you when it came to sin was true about me when it came to sin. The same thing that the Bible says is true about you hell and the surety of hell and the destination of the lake of fire if you don't get saved. It was true of me. But there was one difference. You know what? The gospel was preached to me. Let me tell you how I got saved. And you know what, folks? If you'll use your personal testimony, I think you'll find it's very effective when you're talking to people about Jesus. Listen, everyone needs to have a clear salvation testimony. Everyone can have a clear salvation testimony. Watch this. Everyone needs to share your clear salvation testimony. Everyone needs to live out your salvation testimony. You know, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, let me just share something with you. You know why a lot of Christians, people that are really born again, will never speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they're living a life that is a shame to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin will always make you a coward. Come on, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And talking about perfection, but it's talking about living for God. It's talking about cleaning your life up. Once you get saved, you know what? You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Some people want to use that as a verse that promotes work salvation. No, it says what's on the inside needs to be worked out of you. Yes, salvation occurs in the heart of a man, but you know what? Then it should start working out to affect every part of your life. And once somebody's born again, you get into this book right here and it'll start changing you. And you know what? God will start using not just your lip, but your life. Hey, I want to quote Dr. Wendell Evans, and he was the president of the Bible college that I went to, and he said this, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You know what? We need to live out our salvation. You see, folks, it's one thing to have a clear salvation testimony, and you can have it. It's another thing to share it, but you need to be living a life that matches up to it. Because the only way that people are going to believe you and listen to you is if they see a difference in you. And if we go out into this world and we leave this church, come on, I'm done, but look up here. Let's not lose the opportunity for God to do something here in the closing minutes. If we listen to this and we leave this church and we go out into this world for another week and we are talking, come on, we are talking like the world talks. And we're acting like the world acts. Come on, we're watching what the world watches. We're dressing like the world dresses. How in the world are they going to see a difference in our lives? And when we begin to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, why should they even believe us? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If it is so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord. During this invitation time, dear God, I pray that you'll help every single Christian to have something stirred inside of them. Lord, that they would, Lord, ask you for Holy Spirit boldness when it comes to this matter of standing up. Lord, some need to come to an altar and confess to you their sin of being ashamed. And to get that right before you, Lord, and to ask you to give them the boldness that they need to not live that type of a life. There's young people that are riding buses and coming to church, and they have gotten saved. And yet, when they go to the public school, they never speak up for you. They never share the gospel. They never pass out a gospel tract. They never invite anybody to church. They just blend in. No difference. No difference that the world can see. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us under conviction and help us, Lord, not just to talk it, but to walk it. Lord, use this invitation time. Bless this message, we pray in Jesus' name.